Father and our God, as always, I thank you because when you send that word, it shines the light into our hearts and also gives us understanding. We ask that that be the case this morning, that word will come to us. Blessed be thy name, O God. Give us light and give us understanding. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, even at this time, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. A consecration kind of subject today, the pruning, the vine and the branches. And, you know, right away, you can see that it's going to be a serious subject. And Jesus began to talk about this in John chapter 15. He talked about this lesson. And more so, let's hear how the Holy Spirit will interpret it to us at this time. So we're going to take our scripture reading from John chapter 15. And let's begin to read from verse 1. And this is John chapter 15 and verse 1. And Jesus talking to his disciples. Now, this was his disciples that he was talking to. Not just the general Jews, but his disciples. And that's who he was talking to. So, well, let's see what he had to say to his disciples. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Praise God. Now let's pause there for a minute and think about that. What does it mean if he says, I am the vine and you are the branches? And my father is the husbandman. That's the, you know, vine dresser. The vine and the branches. So Jesus calls himself the vine. He refers to us as the branches. I refer to his father as the husbandman or vine dresser or gardener. You may call it that. You know, so how then, what does all that mean to us? If the Lord is the vine, if we are the branches, and God is the, God the Father is the vine dresser. Well, let's look at the critical things that Jesus said. He talks about every branch in him. Think about that for a minute. Every branch in him. Now, that's why I say he's talking to his disciples. He's not just talking to, you know, random people. Every branch in me. So that means the branch was already in him, right? The branch was already in him. Then this may be a very serious lesson for us to consider, because there are some actions that he's going to take here in pruning. And why is the pruning necessary? That's cutting off the excesses and things that are draining the nutrients and looking for, you know, something better for the branches, and a better outlook for the branches, you know. So let's take a look at it. If we are already in him, as Jesus said, then why should he even talk about, you know, anything being taken away if they're already in him? And unfortunately for the branches that may not be producing, Jesus said, well, they may be taken away. The branches that are producing, the Lord said, well, the Father is going to prune them so that they can bring forth even more fruit. So let's take it as a Bible study and look at what the Lord is saying here and just read through it, ponder and see what the Holy Spirit will give us this morning. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, so that he may bring forth more fruit. Now that purging is what we're going to be talking about today. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, he said, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Now he's saying it again. And ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now, if a man abide not in me, he is cut forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. So he's giving us a way there, how to abide in his love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. And these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And what is the commandment? Well, this is my commandment, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. Praise the Lord. You know, so greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not the will, I mean what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father, he said, in my name, he may give it to you. So, that's the text that we are going to be talking about today. Let's take it from the top. Jesus being the true vine, the Father being the husbandman, and he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, the branch was already in him though, right? If the branch was in him, well, then that means it was a part of, at some point in time, you know, as a part of him. He didn't just say every branch that's out there. He said every branch in me. Now, these are, you know, this is to debunk, you know, some of the theory that some people think about this hyper grace or whatever doctrine they like to believe. You know, once saved, always saved, you can do anything you want. It doesn't really matter. Be careful now. These branches were in him already, but yet they were cut off because they did not abide in him and they were not bearing fruit. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. In fact, he talked about that first before he talked about the fruitful branch. He talked about first the unfruitful branches. Yeah, in him, well, in him already to start with, but they were not bearing fruit. So he said, my Father will cut them off. But every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it so that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, and he says, look, if you abide in me, then you will bear fruit. Because the branch, a branch just by itself cannot bear any fruit unless it abide in the vine. You know, so no more can ye do the same unless you abide in me. And then he goes on to say again, I am the vine and ye are the branches. You know, so he's going to tell it to us again. I am the vine and ye are the branches. You know, so now the pruning that he says he will do for those who are bringing fruit, it may not be pleasant, but it is for our ultimate good. And it won't hurt us. He will do it too. You know, because the Lord, he knows what to do. He knows, you know, the level of our strength. He knows what we can handle. And, you know, some people cannot handle even some of, you know, the pruning has different levels, right? Even if God would prune you in a certain way, and the Lord knows he's got that razor sharp, he knows how to cut. He said, look, you know, I've got my fan in my hand. I will thoroughly purge my floor. I will, sift. What is the chaff among the wheat, saith the Lord? And God knows how to do this pruning. You know, but the thing that we must remember is, he knows how to bring us along. It is his good pleasure to get us into the kingdom. You know, he didn't just bring us out of darkness so that he can destroy us along the way. He wants us to get there. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to arrive where we should be. You know, even the scripture says, look, concerning things that we are able to bear, they had no temptation taking you such as is common to man. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. But God is faithful and he will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above what you are able. But with any tempting or temptation or testing, he will make a way of escape so that ye may be able to bear it. Now, in the book of, let's begin to talk about how he does this purging. In the book of Psalms 103, let's see how he does some of this purging. Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. Now remember, this is something that the Lord is doing. You know, the Lord is the one that's doing it. He said, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembered that we are dust. So because of all of that, he will not allow and bring anything upon us more than we are able to bear. You know, now, God's number one, A1 pruning or tuning tool is his word. That's right. The pruning through to number one is his word. You can see that in verse 3 of this chapter that we are reading. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So the word of God is his number one pruning through. You know, and even in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, you see also a concept of how this word works. The word of God, we are told, is a, you know, is very powerful. You know, it's alive. That's what quick means. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And what can you do? Well, it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, so this word is something that can divide asunder the soul and the spirit. You know, many times the soul is not necessarily a good companion to the spirit, but it's there anyway. But the soul is where you have all the emotions, the anger, the bitterness, the doubting, and all of these things, you know. It's all in the soul, sometimes sorrowful, up and down like that, you know, sometimes depressed. It's all in the soul. Even when you are, you know, a bit happy or joyful, it's all over there. The spirit, on the other hand, is more, you know, inclined to the things of God, especially when it is instructed in the things of righteousness. It's like a candle inside of us. Now, how do we use the word of God to divide between the soul and spirit? I've talked about this in the past a few times. Well, the word of God, when it comes in into your spirit, that brings, you can use that to bring a separation. The soul is trying to go this way, but the spirit needs to go that way. Couple of examples that I'll give really quickly in the Bible. You know, Peter in Luke chapter 5, they have been out there all night long and caught nothing. But when the Lord gave him instruction, he said, Lord, we have been here all night and we have caught nothing. That's what he said in Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. But he quickly said, nevertheless, at thy word. So the nevertheless at thy word is the separating factor between the soul and the spirit. That's what the Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 is saying. You know, the soul is saying, well, gee, you know, there's nothing going on here. You know, discouraged, packing the nets and everything. And we've toiled all night. We didn't catch anything. What's the point? So the soul is discouraged. But the spirit, see, when he remembered that this is the master speaking, he switched that immediately and said, well, although we have cut nothing and, you know, labored all night, cut nothing, nevertheless, at thy word. So that we see there is a separation right there. The word of God comes in, separates the doubtful, you know, the discouraged and the soul and the, you know, emotional and all of that. All those emotions are in there. Separate that one and just latch on to the word of God. Nevertheless, at thy word. So we see that the word of God is God's number one tool, you know, to help us come to where we need to be. Clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. What else does God do in this pruning? And how else can we use this word of God to help us? You know, let's look at Colossians chapter 3, you know, some things that God expects us to do But we have the tools, the right tools to do it. Now, Colossians chapter 3, remember what he said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. That's Colossians 3 and verse 5. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sakes the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now, there's a tendency that these things can flare up in our lives. That's why you say, call your members. You know, it's inside your body. It's inside, you know, the soul. Jesus said, look, these things come out of the heart. You know, now, but he said, if you know how to kill these things, how do we kill these things? Well, the word of God. You know, you got to use the word of God. You can't do it by yourself. You got to use the word of God to kill these things. You know, in 1 Corinthians, let me finish reading this one. He said, in which ye also walked in some time in the past when you lived in them. But now put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And put on the new man. You have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's after the image of Christ. And in Christ, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. So, what is this saying? Well, these are some of the things that need to be pruned from our lives. The fornication, the uncleanness, the inordinate affection, you know, evil concupiscence, the covetousness, you know, and all these things, anger, wrath, malice. Now, these scriptures that we are reading here in Colossians are being written to believers. I'm not writing to unbelievers. You can check it out and see who this is addressed to in the very first chapter of Colossians. How did he put it? He said, well, just like every one of his letters, he always addressed at the beginning, he would say, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, you know, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see he's addressing the saints and faithful believers and faithful brethren. So he's not addressing unbelievers here. So why yet is he saying all these things if he's talking about, if he's talking to believers? Well, because, you know, as long as you are in this flesh, there is going to be all kinds of battle in the flesh, battle in the mind, all these things that we must put off. Anger, wrath, malice. Malice, that's backbiting and all of these things, sowing discord, trying to get, you know, do evil for evil. Blasphemy. Filthy communication. I mean, some people say, what's your poison? There's so many things here, lying, you know, and so forth that it talks about. All these things must be put away. Now, does it mean that they are not believers? Of course they are believers. But there are still all these excesses that people are still dealing with that need to be pruned. So that's what we are talking about here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's look at this verse, verse 31. He says, if you would judge yourselves, you would not be judged. So we can use the word of God to judge ourselves. Examine yourselves, scripture says in another place, whether you be in the faith. Now let's look at some more of this pruning in terms of living right with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. He said, you know, there are a lot of things, the good things that God has promised us, but, you know, what must we do? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Again, he's talking to believers. And yet there might still be filthiness of the flesh, filthiness of the spirit, a constant battle back and forth. Cleanse yourselves. How do you do the cleansing? Well, by the washing of water with the word. Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This word is the best cleanser. You know, we got to get back to the word, read the word, use it daily to help improve the quality of our walk with God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. It's talking about to believers. I mean, what is that one sin that you are struggling or dealing with? Lay it aside. Run with patience the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, so we see that believers may be struggling with some of these things. And Jesus said, look, yes, you may be struggling, but the word that I have was the cleanser, and it will clean you, but you must remain in me. Now, if you don't remain in me, though, you know, you don't want to be clean. Remember, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So if we're going to be part of him, it can't come in with darkness. You must let God help you with that. You know, and the Lord, and I've often said it, that on the day of judgment, when we stand before the Lord, one thing he might say is, why didn't you trust me with that? You know, because some people say, well, you know, I'm struggling with that. Well, maybe you might be, but why don't you trust him with that to help you prune that, you know, and purge that away? Now, bearing fruit can mean many things. The fruit of the Spirit, which we've talked about in Galatians chapter 5, we know the fruit of the Spirit. But did you know that many believers, most believers, in fact, if I ask people right here today to say what the fruit of the Spirit is, you know, I don't think too many people will get it all correct. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? How many of it do you remember? It's not fruits, as in plural, wherein you have the choice to have one or the other, you know, or maybe, you know, he gives you this and not the other. It's fruit, singular, but it has many different attributes. And it's like, you know, different facets, but it's the same singular fruit. So God put it out there singular so that we won't think that we can do and have some part and not the other part. You know, the works of the flesh he talks about, these are all the things that must be pruned. You know, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, and so forth. Now, if we are in Christ, these things ought not to be in us. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the works of the flesh. You know, so all these things are things that should be in the past. Now we are walking in Christ, we should not have these elements of the works of the flesh in us again. If they rear their ugly head, crucify them. That's what the Bible says. Now, how do we do that? Well, the fruit of the Spirit will also help us. The fruit of the Spirit, we're told, is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's gentleness, it's goodness, it's faith, it's meekness, it's temperance. Against such, there is no law. You know, so we got to bear this fruit. If the Lord is looking and he can't find his fruit, you know, you remember the famous story in Mark 11? He saw the fig tree that was not producing. And he wasn't happy with that. And the end of that fig tree was not good. Now, that's a lesson for us. We need to be producing fruit that the master is looking for. Now, that fig tree was actually doing stuff, you know? I mean, it wasn't exactly not doing anything. It just wasn't producing what the master was looking for. I mean, it had leaves. From afar off, it had leaves. I mean, it looked even that, well, it had something going on. It was probably a big tree that was producing shade for people. Maybe the birds of the air were lodging in it. I mean, there was something going on. I mean, you might think maybe some kind of usefulness. However, the one thing that the master was looking for was not there. He was looking for the fruit, and the fruit wasn't there. So he said, well, you're done, because you're not producing fruit. And nobody will eat of you anymore. The one thing that you're supposed to do is to produce fruit, not just be here being a shade for the birds and all these other things, which may seem good, you know, but the master wants fruit. That's the main reason that you are there. If you didn't produce the fruit, then you are done. Now, that's a lesson that is similar to what we are reading here in John chapter 15. You know, God prunes from both the corporate body and also the individual pruning. Now, we're going to talk about, you know, some of that. You know, there is no pruning at the moment that is pleasant. Scripture talks about that. Pruning is not always pleasant. But we must recognize the reason why God does it is so that we may produce even more. In this same Hebrews chapter 5, it talks about, you know, the exhortation that speaks to us as unto children. Let me read Hebrews 5:12-5. Say, don't forget the exhortation that speaks to you as unto children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. Now, if you endure chastening, well, that's God's pruning. He dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, then, you know, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Now, we don't want that. You know, so, and he says, look, our fathers of the flesh, they corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? You know, now, our fathers for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he does it for our own profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That's the part I actually want to bring out. The reason that God is doing it is that we can become more like him. Prune away these excesses. Now, there is no chastening for the present time that seemeth to be joyous, but it seems grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth. What does he yield? The peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. You know, so don't be discouraged when the Lord does the pruning. And it's necessary. Got to prune those excesses away. Number one, two, of course, the word. The Holy Spirit is also the one that's right there with us, helping us with that pruning. Now, there may be sometimes some other things that God may also allow to help us to build spiritual stamina. As pruning can come in many ways. Scripture talks about our light affliction, you know, which right now God may allow. We see in nature even how God, you know, shows us the eagle. As the eagle stirred up her nest, the eagle bird, the mother eagle, And when she's trying to deal with those little eaglets, trying to teach them something, the mother eagle builds her nest with thorns. Uncomfortable, you know, because she doesn't want the eaglet to just stay in the nest. And occasionally put some rough things in the nest, try to get them to move. And if they don't move, scare up the nest, get that little thing moving. And if he still doesn't move, it tries everything, it doesn't move. Well, one day he's going to carry that little eaglet high up in her beaks, fly up. And you know, that eagle can really fly. And then drop the thing and force it. It's got to flap its wings then. Otherwise, you're going to die. You know, so that sometimes God will make things uncomfortable because he's trying to get something come out of us, some, you know, character, some stamina, spiritual resilience that God is trying to build. That's all kinds of things. There's reasons why God does things. The key thing for us to remember is when God is dealing with us, give him the permission and to fully do it and give, you know, trust in him, you know, that he's doing it. God is the one that's doing these things in us. All things are for your sakes. We are told, he said, look, don't faint, you know, because God is walking, might be walking through the affliction, but there is a greater glory coming. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look at the things which are seen, you know, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, you know, you have to use your spiritual sight. For the things which are seen with your visible sight or your physical eyes, they are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So we may not understand the ways of God, but it's working for our favor. Now, Jesus said, and even John the Baptist, he said something about Jesus, right? When he was introducing him in Matthew chapter 3, talked about, you know, verses 11 and 12. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes are not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. I said that pruning, that's a corporate pruning now. And he will gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn off the chaff with unquenchable fire. So there's corporate pruning, but there's also personal pruning. Now, in the case of corporate pruning, the Lord is the one that's building his body. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then there are many things that the devil is trying to put into the corporate body. Jesus told this parable, it's called the parable of the wheat and the tares. You know, and he said, look, the kingdom of God is like, you know, this man, he sowed good seed and so forth. But while, you know, people were sleeping, you know, then something happened and someone else sowed bad seed among the good seed that was already sown. Well, let's read that parable quickly. You know, this is corporate pruning. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. He put forth another parable unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went on his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. Well, the servants then said unto him, would thou then that we go and pluck them up? But he said, no, lest while you try to gather up the tares, you root out also the wheat with them. You know, because when they are still tender like that, they look alike. But let them both grow together until harvest. Now, at harvest time, there's going to be some pruning and there's going to be some purging. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, you know, people of the household of faith and the stock of Jesus Christ, we are at harvest time. And I will say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Well, the tares, the bundling of the tares are happening now. The false vine, the false churches are gathering together. That's the bundling. You know, they say, well, we are all God's children. Whether we are Hindu, whether we are Hare Krishna, whether we are Muslim, whether we are this and that, we're all come together. You know, and they come together. That's a bundling of the tares. Bundle them first together. It's happening now. But they are not prepared for the kingdom of glory. They are prepared for the fire. And whosoever is in that system, come out of her, my people, according to Revelation 18 and 4, so that you be not partaker of those plagues that are coming upon that system. You know, they can't escape it. You know, but they think that they are, you know, trying to unite together and so forth. Yeah. I mean, there's a bundling. But first, they will bundle together, but it's not for the kingdom. It's being prepared for the burning fire. And Jesus is warning here that, look, gather them first together. The wheat will be gathered later. First, the tares, bundling. And then later on, when God has sifted out, you know, all the things that offend, and he's ready, you know, for the true elect to be gathered into the kingdom. You know, when even when we plant, we got to weed out the stuff. You know, and that weed, my goodness, they know how to suck the life out of everything. But remember, it is the same rain that causes the good vegetation to grow that also causes the weed to grow, you know. And so, while you are praying for rain, well, remember, it's the same rain, you know, and the rain falls, it's going to fall upon the good plantation as well as the weeds, and the weeds will grow just like the other good stuff grows. And so there's a constant, those who do gardening, you know, there's a constant weeding that you must do. Because otherwise, those weeds, they'll take over the life of the whole thing, choke everything out. You got to constantly weed out, you know, all the things that are offending in the garden. Constantly weed them out. Constantly weed them out. But there's also another gathering of the wheat. That's right. How does the gathering of the wheat actually work? You know, whereas people talk about unity, 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 unity. You know, let's gather together in unity. Well, that's not how it works. That's for the false vine. They can unite all they want. In Genesis 11, they united all they wanted, but God said, no, I'm going to scatter them, you know, scatter them abroad all the face of the earth. They said, let's come together, you know, and do this thing and build ourselves a name. God said, no, I'm going to scatter you. So that doesn't work. What works is the word of God, is the magnet. This is true unity, ladies and gentlemen. Let me define it. Because people are looking for, oh, let the church unite, let the churches unite, let the people of God unite. Here's the true unity. The true word of God is preached. That's the pure magnet. And each person unites with that word. Not, we're not uniting with, you know, some system. You know, and the focus is not that we're uniting with each other. We're uniting with the word. When you are magnetized to the word, and I'm magnetized to the word, and the next person is magnetized to the word, that's the thing, that's the common factor that is the glue that holds everything together. But if you're just looking to unite to outside of the word of God, what it produces is a monster. Finally, which is what we have today. At the end of the day, they will scrap the Bible. They will bring, another thing. You know, remember, the devil's A1 tool from his beginning is discredit the word of God. That's what he did from the beginning. Hath God said that you will die if you do this and this? You know, that God didn't really mean that. God knows something else, but he doesn't want you to know it. He knows that you'll be like gods, and he doesn't want you to be like gods. You know, so that's why he told you that, you know, and so forth. I mean, all you had to do was sow enough doubt in God's integrity and in the word of God. You know, that was his tactic from the beginning. Discredit God's word. That's the tactic. Well, it's happening today. Discredit God's word, and they're using all kinds of means to do it. And man's knowledge, technology is so advanced, they can do even more. Change the word a little bit. You know, change it here a little bit. Finally, it won't even look like the word of God. Then, you know, bring a conglomeration, you know, join so many things to it. You know, and then, you know, it's like, my goodness, you know, it is, well, God calls it the whore and her hallowed children. You know, at the end of the day, he said, come out of her, otherwise I'm going to destroy it all. So that's dealing at the corporate level. And unless you are discerning, you can't, people won't even see it. You know, and not everything that glitters is really gold. Because he said, look, I'm going to show you that this fruit is good for the eyes and is good for this and that. And then the woman, when she saw that it was good for this and good for that, and want to make one wise and all this thing. And the devil meanwhile playing on this one thing, discredit what God has said. Discredit the word of God. Change the word of God into a lie. And Jesus called him, he said, look, the devil is a liar and the father of it. You know, that means he's the one that made lies from the beginning. So that's what Jesus called the devil. And till this day, he plays that role very well. You know, all you have to do is change the word a little bit. You can read John 8:44. Jesus said, look, there is no truth in the devil. Because when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own self. He's the liar and the father of it. You know, so. And Jesus actually called some of those people children of the devil. Did you know that? He said, ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. You know, and he abode not in the truth. Well, who was the murderer from the beginning? Well, that was Cain.
John 8.
You know, sorry about that. My hand pressed on my iPad here. So the thing is, look, the devil is a liar, is a murderer, and is the father of lies. And his tool is mix it all up in there. A lot of truth and a little lie. You know, a little leaven, leaven at the whole lump. Put, you know, some things in there. So you got to purge out, therefore, the old leaven. You got to do it. Because what does it say? 1 Corinthians 5:7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven. We're talking about pruning and purging today. that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. Well, what's the old leaven? The leaven of the Pharisees. You know, people's belief systems. And maybe one day I'll come back and challenge some more of those belief systems. People's belief systems sometimes can bring in a little leaven, because that's the way they're taught in the traditions of men, rather than holding the truth of the word of God. Jesus said, look, ye dishonor the word of God, you hold on to your traditions. You know, such things you do as washing of pots and pans and keeping of days and this and that, you know, but you won't keep the word of God. You just more focus on these things. And the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin in those days, they were more concerned about you can't do that on the Sabbath day than even for someone that needed healing. They didn't care about that. So you cannot carry your bed on the Sabbath day. There are 6 days in which you can be healed. Come and heal, be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath day. Cannot be healed on the Sabbath day, because on the Sabbath day, you must not do this and you must not do that. And that's their perspective. That's their belief system. And Jesus, of course, debunked all that. He didn't care about any of that stuff. Look, have you not read what David did? You know, even when he went in the days of Abiathar the priest and entered into the temple and got the showbread that was not lawful for him to eat of, but for priests, and gave it, not only did he eat it, but gave it to others that were with him. So Jesus just threw that one completely out of the window. And there are many such things that we hold on to, many such traditions. You must purge yourselves of these things. And in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus spoke about, call out a lot of hypocrisy that we need to purge ourselves on. He said, ye are the ones that like to make clean the outside of the container, the platter, but inside it's dirty. You know, he said, look, clean the inside and then the whole thing will be clean. He said, but ye are whited sepulchres that look good on the outside, but on the inside full of dead men's bones. Now, we must purge ourselves of these deadness and so forth. You know, we got to purge ourselves of these things. Get rid of the things, you know, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. You know, purge ourselves, especially if we have this hope, you know, in ourselves, that we are going to be a vessel of honor, then we need to purge ourselves of anything that defiles. Now, in a great house, we are told that there are many vessels, some unto honor and some unto dishonor. But there are, you know, corporate purging, that the Lord will separate the good vessels from the evil vessels. But if anyone has this hope in himself, then, you know, he's got a responsibility to purge himself of all the things that offend. Hallelujah. Jesus has, you know, some things that he would do to purge all things that offend out of the kingdom. He told that when they came to ask him, he said, look, tell us of this parable, you know, of this tares and wheat. And he said, well, you know, at the end, you know, God, my Father will send and separate and purge, you know, all things that offend at the kingdom. He's doing it. And he will do it at the corporate level. But at the individual level, we got a responsibility. Let's read this in 1 John chapter 3. What's our responsibility at the individual level? Well, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, he said, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knew us not, because they didn't know him either. Beloved, now are you the sons of God, but it does not quite yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, well, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, every man that had this hope in himself, you know, purified himself, you know, even as he is pure. So if you have this hope that you'll be like the Christ, then you got to walk on some purging and some purification with the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You know, now, what did the Bible say about the Word of God? Well, it's a cleanser. You know, the work of the Holy Spirit in us is to use that word to prune, to help, to cleanse, so that we will become like, you know, we'll become spotless, blameless, and do everything like that. That's what he says. He said, Christ gave himself for the church in Ephesians chapter 5, you know, and verse 25, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's a cleansing there. So that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So the spot must be pruned away, must be purged. Every wrinkle must be purged away, or any such thing must be purged away, until the church is holy and blameless, without blemish. So that's what Christ is doing. Corporately, he's doing it too. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that, you know, the axe is laid to the root of the trees, you know, and there's a lot of things that have been in this, in the body of Christ or in the kingdom, so to speak. It's been, you know, it's a mixture, always been a mixture from the beginning. You know, we find out that, you know, the mystery of iniquity and the mystery of godliness mingled in together is what produced this thing that we have at the end, that God must cleanse and separate the mystery of iniquity from the mystery of godliness. It's going to do it too. You know, but it's been all mixed in, and there's so much. You look at the Christendom today, you know, and Jesus said himself, said the kingdom of God is a mixture. It's always a mixture. You know, it's like a woman that took 3 measures of meal and a small measure of leaven, mixed all it up until it was all mixed up. That's not a good thing. Leaven is never a good thing. Some people think that that's a strategy of how you win people into the kingdom. No, that's an evil thing. Every time the Bible talks about leaven, it's an evil thing. And Jesus is saying that there's a lot of, you know, good, but a little leaven mixed up in the thing, 3 to 1, it'll mess it all up until the whole thing is leaven, you know. And so in the Christendom today, the body of Christ, the kingdom, the true body of Christ is in the kingdom, but inside the kingdom is also the tares. They're there as well, mixed up in there. There's a little leaven that leavens the whole lump. And the next thing you know, you know, all you got to do is put a little poison in the food. You're not going to serve poison to anybody and label it as poison and think they're going to eat it. You put a bottle of poison on the table that clearly says poison on it, nobody is going to eat it. So the devil knows that. You know, he'll serve a delicious, luscious looking meal and just put a little poison inside of it until it's all poison. A little poison is enough poison to kill anybody. You know, so that's what is in the churches today. It's a little poison, a little leaven, a little deviation from the word of God, a little bringing in of the dogmas and creeds of men, and mix everything all up till when you look at it, doesn't even look anymore like the early church. Doesn't look anymore like, you know, what Christ said, I'm building. I'm building my church. Let the gates of hell not prevail against it. They'll try, but they won't prevail. But when you're looking, if you're looking with the eye of the Lord, you see that this thing doesn't look anything like God wants it to look like. Well, what about us as individuals in our lives? What do we need to do? Well, we need to yield to that Holy Spirit. Let him do that cleansing work. Now, if you are producing fruit, another way, another kind of fruit that we must be producing is what Jesus, it's what God said at the very beginning. Be fruitful and multiply. You know, so in the kingdom, we must also be fruitful and we must multiply. Are you producing fruit in the kingdom as well? You know, he that winneth souls is wise. You know, are you a soul winner? Are you producing fruit in the kingdom? Well, you know, first, you know, you can't give what you don't have. So first we need to be cleansed. Jesus said it of Peter. He said, look, right now the devil has desired to have you and sift you like wheat sifted. But I have prayed for you that when you are converted, that you strengthen your brethren. So you can't strengthen your brethren until you yourself are converted. So we ourselves need to take heed to ourselves. Paul said, lest after I preach to others, I myself be a castaway. So first, get yourself together. You know, get your act together in the cleansing of the Holy Spirit, washing of water by the word. Look into this word daily. That's what he calls it. He said, it's the perfect law of liberty. It's like a mirror. It shows you what's wrong with you, and then you got to fix it. You look in the mirror in the morning and, you know, and you see that your face is messed up, your hair is messed up, you know, you better fix it. And you look at it, you see that it's messed up and you don't do anything with it about it. What good is that? That's what the Bible says. You know, so these things are what we're calling pruning, getting ourselves to the point where, you know, wonder, the truth of God can truly flow within us. Now, when there are you know, when there are kinks in the garden hose, the water cannot flow out of it freely. And sometimes the pipes are clogged with calcium deposits and all kinds of things, and the water will not be flow. You can turn on the water to the highest pressure, water supply. But if your pipes in the house are clogged up with all kinds of deposits, the water is not coming out, you know, with the energy or force that it should be. So you got to cleanse. You got to get all those calcium deposits out of there, and then the water will flow freely. Well, there's a lot of deposits that are in our lives that need to be cleansed and purged so that the Lord, you know, can flow, the Spirit of God can flow freely through us. Well, that our lesson today is on pruning. It's on purging. It's on us becoming, you know, more like him and producing fruit. And if we allow him to do the work in us, well, then we will produce even more fruit. And in wrapping this up, let me go back to John 15 and read one or two more things out of there that we started with. When you are producing fruit, be the nature and character of Christ in us, that the best fruit that he's looking for, when we are also producing fruit, multiplying and increasing in bringing souls into the kingdom, that's good fruit and so forth. When we are instruments of righteousness, rubbing off on others, that's good fruit. You know, there's a lot of good fruit, you know, the fruit of this Spirit as well. But he said, look, herein is my Father glorified, in that ye bear much fruit. He doesn't even want you to just bear little fruit. Much fruit. That's John chapter 15 and verse 8. So shall ye be my disciples. So one of the things that Christ is looking for in his disciples is much fruit. Much fruit. You know, and not just little fruit. But he also says that, look, you know, I am the one that's chosen you, and you have not chosen me, and I've ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. That's verse 16 of the same chapter, and that your fruit should remain. You know, that's another thing. Our fruit should remain. And so, ladies and gentlemen, let's pray that the Lord will help us today. If there's anything in our lives that's making us unfruitful, Bible says, do not be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anything that's making us unfruitful in our lives, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to purge it, cleanse it. Now, some of it we have to do ourselves. You know, mortifying the deeds of the flesh, we have to do that ourselves. But the Holy Spirit will enable us to do it. We have to put off the old man and put on the new man. We have to put away lying, put away wrath, put away strife, put away bitterness, put away backbiting and all these things and clamor and so forth. Put away filthy communication. Put away all these things. And if you are not able to do it in yourself, which we are not, We have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us, but we must do it, you know, and put away pride. You know, pride will get us falling like lightning from heaven. Jesus says, us Lucifer fall from heaven like lightning. You know, and don't pray that God should humble you. That's not a prayer. You know, prayer is, Lord, give me the grace to humble myself. You know, you got to humble yourself. If God humbles you, that's like humiliate you. You don't want that. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he will lift us up. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. A little bit different from yesterday, but also these things are necessary. Excesses in our lives must be purged so that we can become more and more like the Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit is to use the word of God in us to purge, to prune, and to clean us. Ye are clean, Jesus said, through the word that I have spoken unto you. I'm going to pray over the room. I've been speaking now for almost an hour and 10 minutes. That's enough. So, Father, I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the pruning work that the Holy Spirit does. I present, the scriptures say, present your body a living sacrifice. I present my body, my mind, my soul, and ask the Lord that you cleanse me. You know, Sammy said, search me, O Lord, and see if there be anything wicked inside of me that does not glorify God. And help me reveal it, that I may put it away, cleansing. And Lord, we pray that you give each one of us the grace to turn to the Holy Spirit all the time. I ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the thing that must be purged, the thing that must be cleansed. You know, sometimes it can be even as simple as unbelief. Well, it's actually not simple, but it can be dangerous. And we do not sanctify the word of God. It can be a dangerous thing. You may think you are believing, but yet there's unbelief. And God needs to purge that out of our lives. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will help us reveal to us areas where we are not believing him, areas where we are not walking like him, areas where we are not producing the fruit that he's looking for, and not just doing anything, but the fruit that he's looking for. We pray, Lord, that you help us reveal these things to us by the Holy Spirit. And as we look into the word of God, that we will receive cleansing. Ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Thank you, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.